The Tom Woods Show, episode 1821.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody. I've had a lot of people say that I've been keeping them sane with my commentary through my email newsletter about what's really going on with the virus. Well, if you want to know the people who keep me sane and the resources I use to find out the stuff I find out, well, I made you a list of those resources, and you can grab it over at tomwoods.com/corona. Hey, everybody. Tom Woods here. I've got two announcements for you, and the first one I'm going to make with Michael Malice on the line with me, and then the second one will be after we finish talking to Michael. You know Michael Malice, of course, host of You're Welcome, author of The New Right, celebrity ghostwriter, master of Twitter, so many things to say about him, and let me bring him on and we'll make our first announcement. And of course, it's kind of obvious from the title of the episode or the description, but maybe if you didn't see any of those things, this will still be a secret. Michael, welcome back.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, we're finally able to say that this series we've been working on that people have been badgering us about forever is, well, at least the first episode of it, is available now. Hooray!
Yes, it's a Christmas miracle.
It is indeed. So not everybody knows about this, so in my little intro, I really didn't give anybody any information at all. I wanted us to talk about it together.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds about like my usual episode.
There's no cognitive content here at all. Sorry, suckers. Read my free ebook if you want information, but there's nothing there either.
Anyway.
You dopes.
So Michael and I have been working on an animated series called The Politically Incorrect Guide.
And it's named in honor of our vice president, Pig TV.
Oh my gosh. Well, as a matter of fact, because Politically Incorrect Guide, Pig, they actually bought the domain pigseries.com because it isn't just one episode, it's a series of episodes that'll be released one at a time. Are we doing one a month? We're actually waiting a month to release a second episode. Is that how it works?
Yeah, just like
I know we had a marketing meeting about this a week ago.
Yeah, once a month, just like, you know, like a magazine.
Like a magazine, exactly. So the first one is already available either at pigseries.com or I'll embed it on the show notes page, tomwoods.com/1821. And Michael and I, of course, play ourselves in this thing. One of my favorite moments, and I know you weren't really joking. In fact, you weren't joking at all.
Never. Well, I'm never joking.
Yeah, because people would think, oh, that must be a joke. No, he was dead serious. We were talking about our reaction to one of the episodes after we saw it. And you were very pleased with how it came out. And you said, however, I need to have veto power over my wardrobe. I would never wear something like that.
Yeah, I actually put this in my, you know, I have a support group, malice.locals.com, which a lot of people are using now as their Facebook because they know they're going to, you know how like Facebook people, I'm sure listening, Tom, you remember 5 years ago, it's like, oh, here's a picture of me, you know, taking my daughter to dinner. Oh, she looks so cute. She looks like you. Oh, I like her dress, you know? And now it's like, oh, you want grandma to die, you fascist? I hope you go to hell. So having a group like my locals, people can still post about their family and their politics, and they know they're not going to get any pushback. And one of the things I posted is, I am absolutely apoplectic. And it was not apoplectic, but I'm upset that I didn't get wardrobe control because it still bothers me that on the cover of my biography, Ego and Hubris, which came out in 2006, that I'm wearing a daffodil shirt, which I would never wear in real life. And this was my mistake. It bothers me a lot.
Well, if there's a season two, that problem will be solved.
Oh, yeah. For sure, because it's just as easy to color it one thing as another. So why not have it be something that I'd actually wear?
Right. Okay, fair enough. Well, let's talk about, first of all, what this thing is not. This thing could easily have become, if you and I weren't involved, just the title of it could easily have become BoomerCon Hell, right?
Wait, oh my God, Tom, thank you. I think from now on, whenever I refer to the show, Tom, that was brilliant. My new cartoon, The Politically Correct Guide, or as some call it, BoomerCon Hell.
No, Michael refused to let this happen because we cover some topics that, you know, you might expect to be covered in a series of this name, but we refuse to have the same take, you know, that the Weekly Standard might
Prager.
Have had.
Prager was the enemy in this context.
Yes, exactly. You know, where 30% of the time you watch one of their videos, say, oh, okay, they make a couple of good points. But generally, they're upholding the standard view,
yeah.
You know, and you're a bad American if you don't believe it.
Right.
Like, what? What is that? What? No, we're here to smash these things and blow them up.
Politically incorrect. It does not mean like, hey, here's a politically incorrect point of view. America's awesome.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I bet you never heard that before.
Yeah, kill me now.
So the first episode is on the Constitution, but it's not entirely the typical Constitution episode. And speaking of which, I don't remember what we covered in this episode at all. I have no recollection of this. Seems like it's three lifetimes ago. All I remember is it's way better than you'll get from anybody else. I know. My gut is telling me that.
Let me look this up. We have the show notes, right?
I know. We should somewhere. Unless I burn them all. Script
for today.
And while you're looking for that, by the way, I'll tell people that even though these episodes are, 12 to 15 minutes, you have no idea how long it takes to make these, okay?
Oh, it took forever.
No idea, yeah. Oh.
Oh, here we go. All the founders had the same vision that the Constitution's perfect and that it doesn't anticipate... Oh, this is in 2018. Good Lord.
Oh my gosh, no wonder people are demanding to know where the heck this thing is.
Wow. November 1st, 2018, and the Constitution is flawed because the founders could anticipate technological change. I don't even remember if those were the segments we did.
Yeah, I don't either. And you know, the episode's sitting right there, Michael. All we have to do is press play, and
By June 2019, it's the Living Constitution, the General Welfare Clause, and the Electoral College.
Okay, all right. Yes. So there you go.
That's familiar, yes.
I would say the boomer cons are probably supposed to believe these positions, but not very many of them really know how to answer the Living Constitution or the Electoral College is just hopeless. So
yes,
we got it. But what I'm looking forward to, you know, that was one of the conversations we had was what topics we're going to cover. We have 10 episodes. Yeah. We're going to pick things that are going to be interesting. So I'll take a couple that people might not expect, or maybe they expect them, but not our take on them. Like, for example, we have ones on the Great Depression and the Supreme Court. All right, okay. But the episodes on journalism, that's not going to be the episode you would get from the boomer cons. But, you know, journalism is an honorable profession with wonderful people, and it's just suddenly gone wrong in the past 12 years or something like that. Yeah, it's way, way, way beyond that. Or public education would be the other one that, again, but public education was a wonderful institution and it's suddenly gone off the rails and we need to get back to our original. It's not like that at all. Trust me. That is not the way we're taking this.
I was surprised. Well, here's the thing. I was surprised and happy because politically incorrect is one of those terms that's become corporate. So it's kind of like the corporate version of politically incorrect. It's like a Poochie on The Simpsons, like
yes.
He's a character who's edgy, who plays by his own rules. And those rules are stay in school, do your homework. Nothing's as edgy as doing a good job with mom and dad.
Right.
So my idea of politically incorrect is, you know, very different from that. And this was a concern going through it. And I was surprised by how, and especially you, Tom, you're not particularly an edgelord, ironically or non-ironically, I was surprised by how dark they let us get with the humor.
Yes. Now, there are some goofy examples of humor, too. Plenty of that. Me in a dress repeatedly, for example.
Yeah, that was actually my one goal. that was when I set out to do a project, I will always have these little goals and they'll be just completely not a big deal. But like, I'm like, this has to happen. And that was one of mine that I realized early on. I got to get Tom in a dress on the show as much as possible. And it wasn't hard. You loved it.
Well,
just like in real life.
I was thinking, is there a funnier way of saying just like in real life? But
yeah.
No, I guess that just is the joke. The nice thing about an animated series, of course, is that you're not limited in what you can do. We could have you showing up at my house in a DeLorean straight out of Back to the Future, and you and I ride off in a time machine, we probably wouldn't have had the budget for that in real life.
Sure,
so yeah. we were just limited only by our imagination. As much of a cliche as that sounds, we could say, oh, we should have Michael doing this or Tom doing that, and it could be done.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it's weird seeing yourself animated, don't you think?
Yes. Yes, it is. Hearing that voice coming out of that giant fat face they gave me.
Tom, they made you look simultaneously like you're 80 and like a baby.
Yeah, yeah. That was masterful. And of course, I'm neither one. So thanks a lot. Now, I want to get back, though. I talked over you, but when you were talking about how dark they let us get, do you want to give people maybe an example of that?
No, not at all. I'm just saying how, you know, this is kind of my sense of humor. This is something I was very happy with my book, The New Right, how they only cut one joke and I really pushed the envelope there as much as I felt was necessary. So, and the other thing people need to realize what we were up against to some extent is this was licensed from Regnery. And for those who don't know, you people probably should know, Regnery is the big kind of boomer conservative imprint. I know you did a couple of books with them, at least one. They do a lot of good work. They also do a lot of not so good work, and that's okay. Or maybe work that just isn't my taste, to be fair. I'm sure it's quality to some extent. No, there's a lot of garbage, let's be fair. And the kind of things that I would want would kind of be against their kind of proclivities, you know, especially us attacking the Constitution at all. That is, you know, anathema to their worldview. So the fact that they were amenable or at least humored us, I think was a really kind of a big deal.
Yes, yes. And it reflects well on them. I mean, there are some good people there who, I mean, they're not full Woods Malice, but even back in 2004, when I was writing The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History, they were emailing me saying, by the way, if you want to say X in this book, feel free. We have no problem with that. Like they were, you know, nudging me. But I will say I did have to fight with them a little bit. I was still a new author. I didn't have any clout really. I couldn't really resist them when they would say, well, we really want this or we really want that. So, well, I could, but I had to fight. I had to say, no, look, I am not going to say that. There's just no way I'm going to say this or that thing about the Vietnam War that you want me to say. That's just not happening. Whereas in the future, once I had a New York Times bestseller under my belt and they really wanted me back, that never happened again. Not a word. No problems. I actually published 5 books with them. The benefit of that was that they're very, very plugged in to, you know, right of center media. And the nice thing about the term politically correct, both for my book and for our series, is that it allows people like you and me who are really not in that universe, given our sorts of views, to nevertheless sneak into that audience. Yeah. Because that audience will look at the title, say politically incorrect, and they'll say, oh, and implicitly they'll think, whatever these people say, I'm supposed to believe.
Yeah, I am shocked, and I would love to hear your thoughts. This is kind of tangential to the show, to the extent to which conservatives have become radicalized in the last 6 months. I never thought I would see this at this rate. It is amazing to me, and it makes me very hopeful for the future.
Yes, me too, especially since I'm glad you said 6 months, because not that much before that, it was kind of frustrating to me because I had spent a lot of time going after the neocons, and then I got bored with that, and I went back to, and I realized, gosh, you know, the left is even worse than I remember. So I was mostly focused on that. And then in 2019, 2020, I kind of looked back on the right wing again. I thought, well, I wonder how these people are doing. You know, surely they've had years and years now figure out a lot of things, to figure out, you know, stuff about the police. You know, surely they're not just repeating slogans about that. And yet they were. And I thought, what? You had all this time and you're still where you were in 2008? How can this be? So it is kind of encouraging to see some of them willing to say, I want to abolish everything at this point. I don't trust anything anybody is saying to me, especially after 2020. That would nudge anybody, almost.
Well, not anybody, because that's not how people come to their conclusions, you know, for many people. And I think it is quite radical for someone who is a conservative, who has been too bad we didn't do an episode on the cops. That would be politically incorrect.
Season 2.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, let's take a quick minute to thank our sponsor, BitTrust IRA. Well, if you weren't interested in Bitcoin before, you may be a little curious about it now. And of course, folks who have been interested in Bitcoin for a long time have been delighted by its performance and the fact that it has indeed generated so much attention. Well, you may have given some thought to adding Bitcoin to your retirement account as a way of diversifying your portfolio. Everybody can see how well Bitcoin has performed over the past year, but how would you go about doing such a thing? Well, BitTrust IRA will help you. They're going to help you seamlessly and securely add cryptocurrency to your portfolio. They store your private keys in nuclear bunkers with military-grade encryption. They have a 24/7 trading platform with no minimum investments and unlimited trades, plus a team to help guide you along the way if you have any questions. They also have the lowest trading fees in the industry. Well, go to bittrustira.com/woods today to learn more. And for a limited time, BitTrust IRA is waiving the sign-up fee for Tom Woods Show listeners. That's a $50 value. That's bittrustira.com/woods. bittrustira.com/woods.
Anyway, what are your goals with this show?
I guess one thing that I hinted at before, which is that I want it to, the term Overton window is used a bit too much maybe, but I want to extend that for conservatives because I want them to, I expect a lot of them will watch just because of the name.
Yeah.
And we're not going to say, sometimes we'll say things they expect us to say, but other times we won't. And since most of them, I feel like the conservative movement, like Conservatism Inc., has done an atrocious job of educating these folks. They don't know anything about the history of their
right
ideas or they don't really know that much. So that allows us to go in there and sweep in and get them thinking in ways that are better, that are more consistent and, to my mind, more anti-state. And maybe it helps them to think in more productive ways rather than just repeating slogans from the Reagan campaign of 1984. Look, it's 2021 now. Things have evolved since then.
Yeah, I think it's such a cool credential to have a cartoon. I'm excited about that. I think it's the kind of thing that's easy for people to share. And I think if you're going to build any kind of momentum, there has to be an element of fun that goes along with it.
Yes.
You know, I stress this constantly in my social media. Only miserable people want to be around miserable people, you know? And it's a very kind of contagious mindset. You know, you really have the need to surround yourself by miserable people. Otherwise, you're going to have to do a lot of mental work and reprogram yourself. And it's a lot easier to be in your rut. So you're going to have to expend the energy on persuading everyone else to be miserable. It's just a horrible situation. So I think anytime you have this element of fun or thinking outside the box in kind of spreading ideas, I think people get to be very receptive of it. And I think it's going to also make a lot of bad people. This is one of the things that drives me a lot because I'm much more of a Batman than a Superman type. I've had this discussion with, I forget who it was, the premise being Superman's job is to help the good people and Batman's job is to hurt the bad people. And I'm much more of a Batman than a Superman type, although maybe that's changing a little bit in recent months. The idea that there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be really, really, really upset that Tom Woods has his own cartoon.
Yeah.
And why don't I have my cartoon?
I know.
And that's going to make me very happy because, he's terrible and he's this and is that and he should be in the cornfield. And here he is, you know, you guys are making him palatable for children. Oh my God. Well, I never. Joe Jorgensen. Yeah. Okay. That's nice people. We're going to, Jessie Forgione, the girl who introduced me to you all those years ago, has this great quote where she said, "We're going to be free and there's nothing you can do about it." Just like, it's such a great thing to tell these people. We're like, if you believe in this, then you have to, it's like, nah, we're not talking. We're just going to do what we want. And if you don't like it, you can lump it.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, Tom's this, Tom's that. Cool. Here's my cartoon. Feel free to share it or not, as is your want. Thanks. Yeah. That makes me very happy.
I know. It makes me happy too. Because the thing is that and it really is a small sliver. They're just loud because they have all day to tweet of people among libertarians who are anti-Woods. The anti-Woods contingent, oh my gosh, are these people humorless and awful and not that smart, put it that way. So to me, it's just fun to keep having successes, not acknowledge them in any way, but keep having, oh gosh, it killed them when I won that Lifetime Achievement Award. That absolutely decapitated them. because Deirdre McCloskey also won that award and Peter Thiel won that award. Those people are obviously not Nazis, right? So if not only am I thriving, but winning something like that in our movement, then the movement is hopeless. They should just conclude the movement is hopeless if it's honoring alleged Nazis like Woods and they should just move on. That would be nice. Well, anyway, related to this, I want to talk about, you were talking about fun and humor. And for some reason, I've been thinking lately about, you know, that meme that has gone crazy of Bernie Sanders at the inauguration?
Sure.
Okay. And a lot of those are really funny, actually.
Sure.
You go to Bernie's Twitter, and you could predict, knowing how utterly humorless that guy is, there's no acknowledgement that this is even happening. It's all, Amazon workers should be able to unionize. Like, he can't even stop for 3 seconds to tell whoever runs his social media, look, post something funny about these memes so that I acknowledge it so I can be a human being for 5 minutes. He can't do that. That guy must be a ton of fun to hang out with.
My understanding is he has a reputation for like working his staff harder than anyone else in Congress. And not in a like Amy Klobuchar throwing staplers at them way, but like he's really and you can understand with that socialist mentality. It's like, you know, you're there serving the people, you don't have a right to slack off, blah, blah, blah. It's a lost opportunity. If you look at the other way, Ted Cruz, who's been, you know, kind of embracing all the memes about him in a very humorous way, it does a great job of humanizing him. Because Ted Cruz is, remember Donald Trump pointing this out in 2015, 2016 during debates. He's like, you work in the Senate, not one senator has endorsed you. What does that say? Maybe they know something we don't. And he really was regarded as this complete snake, which I'm sure he is, and just a complete arrogant jerk. And now that's kind of been heavily mitigated or somewhat mitigated by, you know, the Zodiac Killer memes and all these other things that he embraces on Twitter. So he's playing a very smart game as far as, you know, the cathedral will let a conservative play in this context.
Again, returning to the politically incorrect phrase, and the series is in a way loosely based on the animated series is loosely based on the book series.
I just got to say one more thing.
Yeah.
Isn't it true politically incorrect was a term invented by Lenin?
That kind of rings a bell with me, but yeah. Of course, to mean something somewhat different.
Right. But it's just, I mean, I forget who it was, but they pointed out that capitalism is one of the few terms that the right took from the left in the same way that liberalism, you know, was taken. And this is one of the few that went the other direction. I think politically incorrect is one of those terms. I think it meant in line with the party. Or not in line with the party, rather, back in the day.
Right, right, right. So in a way, it actually does work for us, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm a hardcore Leninist.
Well, back when Politically Incorrect Guide to American History came out, what was interesting about it is that it divided the conservative world in a way that this series of ours is likely to divide it.
Oh.
In a healthy way. So the Weekly Standard was Bill Kristol's magazine.
Oh, God.
And they ran a print review of the book that was very favorable.
Oh,
and then Max
I knew
Boot
it. Neocon was.
Exactly. But see, then Max Boot came along.
Oh, boy.
The horrible Max Boot. And he couldn't believe this. So he ran a negative review on the website. Now, they've already reviewed the book, Max. You know, the train has left the station. But he did that. Now, Max, of course, has since made a big production of how he's left the GOP. And, of course, who cares about Max Boot? I could have predicted that at the time because the criticism of my book was it was exactly like the New York Times criticism. Well, how dare he say, blah, 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 that's not what I was taught when I was. It was exactly the New York Times. What are you doing in a right-of-center magazine? Well, answer, he's not there anymore because, first, there's no magazine. And secondly, Boot is, who knows where he is now. But there was division. I had some people supporting me.
He's in his house wearing his mask.
Yes, yeah, that's where he is. Exactly right. But yeah, they weren't sure. They saw Politically Incorrect. So they thought, I guess we're supposed to like this. So I got all kinds of sympathetic media. So I think it's going to be the same kind of thing here.
I'm really stoked about this. It was so much work for so long. Here's the other thing, which I know people are going to enjoy. Like, as if we didn't spend enough time this episode blowing smoke up each other's ass, but this is a real
sorry,
big one.
Everybody.
All right, this is what you're going to get, and you're going to like it or lump it. You either like us or you're Max Boot. Those are the choices. And now you have to look in the mirror and say, I'm Max Boot, and I have to wear a stupid hat to cover my ugly head. I think people really, and I don't think this is the feedback I've gotten. People really enjoy when it's us hanging out and not just kind of riffing on each other. And that really is the dynamic of the show. I mean, the model for some of you who people might remember this was the Ricky Gervais podcast. It became animated. So it's just us like hanging out and talking. And I think that atmosphere lends itself very well to quality content.
Yeah, because when you and I hang out and talk, we have fun. and it tends to be informative. And you, in particular, will have, I hope you won't take this as an insult, but sometimes offbeat takes on things that aren't exactly what you would predict from either side that are presented to us as the legitimate options. And that is fuel for me to think about the issue. And the result is usually pretty productive. So let's get people over there then. So the site...
And you curse like a sailor and always wear a dress.
Just like real life.
I meant in real life.
But in the series, do we bleep out the bad words?
Yes, there was a joke where we used that as a bleep. Wasn't that the one where you were saying I'm not an Italian? No. There was some cursing in some episodes where we bleeped it out on purpose, which makes it funnier.
Yes, right. Especially since it's our own show,
right.
Yeah, I've done that on my show where I've said a bad word and then I bleep myself. Well, then who was allowed to hear that word? It's my own show and I've already. Anyway, pigseries.com is the website. Also, this first episode will embed it at tomwoods.com/1821. So each month we're going to release a new one and it's just going to be fun. Any final word?
No, this has been a long time coming and it really came out well. I'm surprised how well it came out because I always just anticipate the worst. So I am delighted.
All right, excellent. So everybody, go watch it. And if you like and appreciate the things that Michael and I do for you folks for free every doggone day, spread it around for us. You know, retweet it, whatever social media platforms you're on, if you could share it, send it to your friends, we would be grateful. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, folks, that is the first announcement. The second announcement has to do with the 2000th episode of The Tom Woods Show. That's coming up later this year. And you'll recall that we had a very special event in Orlando for the 1000th episode of The Tom Woods Show. And boy, did we have a great time at that thing. What an absolute blast. Well, this year, for the 2000th episode, I'm doing another live event in person. Doesn't cost you anything to attend. And it's just going to be a blast. I've got so many fun things lined up with so many of your favorite Tom Woods Show guests and libertarian celebrities. Oh my gosh, are we going to have a blast. So I will be giving you the details in the coming weeks. It doesn't cost you anything, but I'm going to ask you to sign up anyway, just to help me get a rough count of the number of people I can expect, because that will just assist me in planning. And I am going to be having a special pre-show reception with supporting listeners of the show. So those of you who have been supporting me through the Supporting Listeners program will have a nice open bar for you, which is going to cost me an arm and a leg, but that's how I give back, let's say, right? You hear all the time people saying, I need to give something back, when they didn't actually take anything. Well, in this case, I do take things, but I'm going to give some of it back in the form of free drinks before the event. So the Supporting Listeners program, supportinglisteners.com, you should go be part of that, and you'll get a special invite to that special reception beforehand. But what a wonderful time. I've got so many wonderful things lined up. Funny, engaging, interesting, keep your attention, all these things for sure. So save the date, October 16th. That's the date. It's a Saturday. And it'll be down in Orlando, and I hope a lot of you can make a weekend out of it, make a little trip out of it, because there are other things to see and do while you're in Orlando, so you might as well go ahead and do it. And we have a governor who doesn't seem likely to clamp down on anything, so it seems like we'll be able to have this event with however many people we like. So now that you know how great the 1000th episode was, you don't want to miss the 2000th. Michael will be there also. He's told me that what he has cooked up for the 2000th episode is just going to be outstanding, and he can't tell me what it is, but it's going to be great. So I don't even know what it is. I have no idea what Michael has planned. So you and I are going to find it out together in Orlando. So save that date. I'll get you some details soon. We'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of The Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.